We are in a series of sermons on spiritual gifts, and if you'll turn to Romans chapter 12, we've talked about the ministries, the manifestations. We're talking about the motivational gifts. That is, every single believer has at least one motivational gift. That is the thing that drives them, motivates them to carry out the ministry that God has given them, the responsibility that they have. If you'll notice, of course, in Romans chapter 12, what Paul said, he said, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. That is, God has given this out of his grace, has given this gift to one, this to another. And remember now, he's given these different gifts to the body so that all the needs in the body, in the fellowship, can be met. If everybody had one gift, many people would be lacking. So he names them here in Romans chapter 12. When he speaks, let each exercise them accordingly, prophecy, service, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading in mercy. And today we're on the second one, which is the gift of service. And if you recall also, we're looking for someone in the scripture who has that gift. And the person in the scripture who is a beautiful example of the gift of service is Timothy, Paul's son in the ministry. So let's look at the first characteristic, which is a person with a gift of service will have an alertness to detect practical needs and a desire to meet them. That is, a person with a gift of service is very alert and sensitive to people around them who are in need. They are motivated, highly motivated, to meet those needs, and they get their greatest sense of satisfaction and fulfillment in seeing a need met by the investment of their own life. That's why a person with a gift of service has a tremendous memory, being able to remember the likes and the dislikes of the person they serve. For example, a secretary who has a gift of service will remember every like and almost every dislike of the person she works for. A mother who has the gift of service will have an uncanny way of remembering all of those little desires and the things that they don't like of every member of the family. That person has that gift, and therefore they give of themselves in meeting those needs, and oftentimes more than is expected, far more than expected, because they remember what is liked and what is not liked. Now, when you look at the life of Paul and Timothy, for example, in this area, and in Philippians chapter 2, turn there for just a moment and look at what Paul said about him. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 20. And he said about Timothy, he says, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. That is, Timothy was of the nature and the spiritual gift that he was very sensitive to and careful to meet the needs of people about him. He says, no one so concerned to meet your spiritual welfare. And of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you see a similar verse of his interest there. Then the second receives joy in serving others when it frees them to do more important things, not just to keep busy. That is the second characteristic. Now let me show you something very important at this point. A person with a gift of service can become very, very grieved when they see the person whom they're serving squandering their time and wasting it on minor things. But the person with the gift of service is greatly delighted in giving of themselves to serve another person when they see that the other person is investing his or her life in worthwhile projects. But when that is not true, that person becomes less fulfilled. And you see, the person with the gift of service has a real key to success. One of the vital keys of success is this. If I'm willing to invest my life in your life in order to help you get what you want out of life, then you in turn are going to be motivated to help me. That is, I'm going to get the overflow and the backlash of your appreciation, your gratitude, if I help you reach your goals. A person with a gift of serving is a person who has the gift of giving. Giving of themselves, and a person who's always giving of themselves towards you, my friend, you're going to be motivated in turn not only to express gratitude verbally, but more than likely you're going to express that gratitude in some other way. So the person with the gift of service is sitting right on the pivotal point of success because they're exercising one of the keys to success, and that is giving of yourself to someone else to help them succeed in whatever they're interested in. The third, a tendency to disregard personal health and comfort in serving others. That is, a person with the gift of service oftentimes will forget all about how they feel, what they want, their health, and they will give of themselves untiringly, on and on and on. They're willing to work. When everybody else has stopped and they're tired, weary, want to sit down and say, let's take a break, the person with the gift of service has in mind one thing: get the job done. They want to get the job done, and so they are willing to forget how they feel, and even maybe how others feel, in order to accomplish that. When you look, for example, in the life of Timothy, again, we see him not only receiving great joy in being able to give of himself to Paul at this point, but likewise in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Look there, if you will. And in this 23rd verse, he says, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now, Paul sent Timothy to some of the most difficult places to minister. For example, he sent him to Crete, which is an extremely difficult place. He said, describing how the people in Crete thought of themselves, I mean, it was terrible. And Timothy must have written Paul to say, look, why in the world you put me in a place like this? And so Paul addresses him and says, Timothy, for this cause left I thee in Crete. He was having a very difficult time there. And here you'll notice he says, for your frequent ailments, that is, he just kept hanging in there, doing the job, getting it done, even sometimes at the expense of his own health. And you'll see people who will do that, oftentimes breaking their health. It isn't because they want attention. It's just that's where they get their sense of satisfaction. Sometimes they get out of balance, desiring to meet this need, getting this job done, accomplishing this, achieving that, and sometimes forgetting the fact that rest is a vital part of God's need for their life. Number four, a need for appreciation to confirm that service is necessary and satisfactory. Now, a person with this gift, you say, well, are they just working for appreciation? Are they working to be acknowledged? They want promotion? What is it they want? No, a person here with a gift of service, a need for appreciation to confirm that what they've done is necessary and important and well done. A person with a gift of service is willing to give of themselves and give of themselves untiringly, but they want to know that they're not wasting their time, that what they have done has been essential, and also it is a wise investment of their time, and likewise that we who have been served are pleased with the way they went about it, and oftentimes doing much more than is expected. Listen, every employer would like to have a group of people who spiritually are gifted with the gift of service, doing more than is expected of them, going about it in such a way to accomplish and achieve the task, and feel that they have not only made some achievement for themselves, they've made a contribution to others, and their sense of fulfillment and contentment is the fact they have done a job and done it well. So the person with the gift of service has that. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you'll look there for just a moment, and in this passage in verse 10 and 11, listen, now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you, without cause to be afraid, for he's doing the Lord's work as I also am. And that is, Paul gave Timothy that continuous reaffirmation in his life. He says, let no one therefore despise him, but send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. That is, he was continually reaffirming Timothy that he was investing his life wisely, and he spoke of him as his son in the ministry, and he said to him here, he's doing the Lord's work also as I am. And here is Paul, God's great apostle and missionary, and what he's saying is, as I'm serving the Lord, so is Timothy. He's doing it just like I'm doing, and so Timothy, I'm sure, needed that sense of encouragement like everyone does. Now, this does not mean that people who are not gifted with the gift of service do not need encouragement. Everyone does. But the person who has the need here, the gift of service, and has this need, what it does, it motivates them. It stirs them, and it simply reaffirms that they are investing their life and time wisely, that you are pleased. And what does that mean? They just want to do a better job next time and do even more. Then number five, that is, a strong desire to be with others, thus providing more serving opportunity. Now, you won't find many people who have the gift of service who are loners. They want to be with people. And everywhere you find Timothy in the Scriptures, in the number of passages here, for example, in Acts chapter 19 and also chapter 20, you usually see Timothy with somebody. And with that gift, naturally he would be in that spirit of wanting to be with others. And for example, the 19th chapter here, he mentions that he is with one person in the 22nd verse. But in the 20th chapter, in the 4th verse, listen. He was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus, Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. A person with the gift of service naturally wants to be around other people. Where do they get their sense of fulfillment and contentment? Not off somewhere studying the Bible all by themselves, though this does not mean a person with the gift of service does not ever want to be by themselves, but their greatest sense of satisfaction, contentment, and fulfillment is being among people where they are giving of themselves to meet practical needs. Now, remember that word practical, because I'm going to come back a few moments and show you where they're misunderstood. The person with the gift of service is greatly excited, greatly fulfilled when they can see that you or some personal group has been helped sometimes in very, very meager ways, but oftentimes in great ways as a result of them giving of themselves. They don't need the spotlight. They don't need big places of leadership. They don't need their names in print. They just need to be aware that their life is being wisely invested by meeting the needs of other people. Now, you imagine where the body of Christ today would be without God's great, tremendous host of those who have the gift of service. For example, I suppose one of the best places to describe this is in the home. A mother just naturally has many things she has to do to serve her family. So we're not talking about just that natural responsibility. We're talking about a divinely given gift through the Holy Spirit, wherein a person is highly motivated, tremendously fulfilled by the fact that they have someone to serve and that these people are being served adequately and he or she has a part in that service. So that does not mean also that a person who serves the Lord has to have a gift of service. This is the motivation. For example, a person with a gift of service could be a Sunday school teacher. What motivates her to be a Sunday school teacher? Not because she has the gift of teaching, but because we've said, listen, there is a desperate need to teach seven-year-old girls, and nobody's come forward. And here, since the person I hear the gift of service, and they keep hearing about this need, and she says, look, I can't sit here long. I've got to get up and do something. Somebody's got to teach them, so she volunteers. Now, she may not be the best choice of a teacher, but here's what I've discovered. Friend, you take a person with a gift of service, what they don't know in terms of facts, friend, they will make up for in love and service. And I've seen people with the gift of service who didn't know a whole lot of Bible, a whole lot of Scripture. They began to love people and give of themselves, and God began to teach them and share it with them. And listen, when you and I are being loved and served by somebody, is it not true? You can hear everything they say. But you can be taught or preached at or preached to by somebody who doesn't care anything about you whatsoever. It's hard to listen. But the person who has a small group, and maybe they're not a Bible scholar by a long shot and don't have a whole lot of education, but they just love those folks and serve them and take care of them, meet their needs. Listen, friend, you're going to learn a great deal from a person like that. So we're not talking about the gift of service, just running around saying, what can I do next? They can serve in every single facet of a body. For example, we said we need 100 more choir members. And I'm sure there are people sitting in the choir today who have the gift of service. And one of the things that motivated them, there was a need, a practical need. They could sing a little bit. Some of them could sing a lot better than they thought they could. And they said, well, here's a need, and I'm sitting out here listening. I could sit back there and listen and make a contribution and serve and help meet that need. Count on me. I'll be there. Every single facet of the fellowship. In your business, in your home, in your school, the need for the gift of service. You see, the gift of service, when I think of people that gift, I think here are the people who really keep things going. I mean, you can have all kinds of leaders, but the folks who keep it going are the people who have the gift of service. Now, if you'll notice number 6, an enjoyment of short-range projects and a tendency to become frustrated with long-range responsibilities. Now, listen. Why is this true? Because the person with the gift of service, what is it that motivates them? What gives them contentment? What gives them a sense of fulfillment? What gives them a sense of fulfillment is seeing the project completed. Now you say, well, listen, no, you have the gift of service, so I have a 5-year long-range product. Then you've wiped them out all of a sudden. They're not interested in 5 years. They'd rather you give them a little bite today and a little bite tomorrow and a little bite the next day. And listen, they'll get it done. But if you've got a big 5-year project, you give that to somebody, the gift of organization, and then you get yourself some servants in there who know how to take it a bite at the time, and friend, they'll get it done. But the person, the gift of service says, 5-year project, a long run, I'm not interested in that. What happens is they get frustrated because you see, if it takes 5 years to complete the project, that means they've got to wait 5 years to see it finished. And what motivates them is seeing it done today. Now that has its built-in problems, as you could very well see, and we're going to discuss in just a few moments. Then number 7, a tendency to feel inadequate and unqualified for spiritual leadership. Now watch this. I've seen this. Some of the finest people in this fellowship that I know, and I could name 2 or 3 of them, and they might even guess I was talking about them if I wasn't careful. But let me tell you something about them. I've seen some folks in this fellowship who are absolutely perfect examples of the gift of service. And I mean, if something needs to be done in some practical way, listen, if they know about it, they're going to get it done. I know exactly who to call on to get some things done. Now, those same people who are Spirit-filled believers, I know that to be true. I've watched them over the years. I know their love for God and devotion to Him and devotion to this fellowship. I know they have that God has gifted them in so many ways. But more than likely, and oftentimes, they're the person to say, well, now, you know, if it's teaching the Bible, don't call on me for that. If it's leading in the prayer meeting, I don't think I'm quite up to that. When oftentimes, I know them well enough to know, surely they are. But you see, the person, the gift of service, they oftentimes have a tendency to say, well now, you know, when it comes to these things like leading a Bible study and leading the prayer meeting, and they want to back off, when the truth is, sometimes they are, though they don't feel the most qualified, they are the most gifted because of their beautiful demonstration of loving, giving service to other people. But sometimes they have the tendency to say, well, I'm more practically oriented by getting this project, and give me a job in this project. Now, on the other hand, there's some folks that not only is that true in their life, but they feel more comfortable doing that. You see, the person with the gift of service, because he wants to see projects completed, he feels much more at ease. Now, let's say you take a person with the gift of service who has that tendency, and you say, well, I want you to teach a Bible study for 3 months on the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus, teaching the Bible study, I mean, it wipes them out. Here's what they say. I said, look, I'll tell you what you do. If you'll teach the Bible study, we can have it at my house. I'll be sure everything's clean. We'll have snacks there. I'll keep the yards mowed. Listen, everything will be great. You just do the Bible teaching. Now, that's a tendency they have. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll say, they're not very spiritual, when that's not true at all. It's just that God has gifted them with this helping, giving spirit. And listen, what do we say? When you exercise the ministry God's given you through the motivational gift with which you've been equipped, then you are going to be able to fulfill that ministry with peace and joy and happiness and contentment and fulfillment. So you put a person with a gift of service doing something they feel inadequate and unqualified for, they're frustrated. Sometimes they may get angry and just quit. You think, well, they don't have very much faithfulness to God. No, it's not that. The issue is they're not doing what they have been equipped to do, and so their motivational gift, they'll get all hung up on that. That's why it's so very important that we discover what our driving motivation is, and then that we follow the ministry whereby we can exercise that ministry by that gift. Now, that brings me to the misunderstandings, and what I want you to see in this area here is this, that the misunderstandings, not only could sometimes the person with the gift of giving or gift of service misunderstand themselves, but oftentimes misunderstood by other believers. Now, let's just show you how this happens. One of the ways they're misunderstood is the quickness in meeting needs may appear pushy. Now, you find a person in a group who has the gift of service and a need comes up. If that person's not careful, They'll make their way to the front and say, look, I'll handle it. Don't you all worry about that. And somebody says, well, isn't she the pushiest thing you've ever seen? Just got to be out front. Just got to have notoriety. When that's not the issue, the issue is that here's a person genuinely motivated by the gift of service. And they think, well, if that's the project, I know how to do that. If y'all just get in my way, I'll get that done in a hurry. And so they appear to be pushy because they are so willing to volunteer. All right, the second, avoidance of red tape may result in excluding others from the job. Now listen, the person with the gift of service, here's the way they think. Oh, that's the thing that needs to be done? If you just get out of my way and don't bother me, I'll get it done. Don't give me any red tape and any bureaucracy. Just move all that out of the way, because the best way to do this is just let me handle the job and I'll take care of it. Now, it isn't that they want to exclude everybody. It's just that they see that they know how to do it. They can get it done, and by including other people, that's just static. Haven't you heard a woman say, listen, y'all just stay out of the kitchen and I'll get the meal on the table. Just don't get in my way. And what she's saying is, listen, I appreciate your help, but all these hands are just slowing me down. Now, a woman knows what we mean by that, and I'm sure you do. All right, the third, disregard for personal needs makes them their own family needs. You know, it's like the plumber, his house leaks, the painter, the chips are falling off of his house. And so sometimes the person with the gift of service, seeing so many needs, oftentimes overlook the needs of those closest to him, all right? The fourth, eagerness in serving may prompt suspicion of self-advancement. Now, a person with the gift of service, for example, in the business world, you know, they want to serve, and of course they do want to get ahead. Anybody who doesn't want to do their best and achieve and invest their life wisely, there's something wrong there. But sometimes that person is misunderstood by saying, listen, all they want is to advance their own cause. They want to step on anybody else to get it done. That's not their motive. You see, their sense of fulfillment, listen now, their sense of fulfillment is not getting ahead of you. Their sense of fulfillment is they see a project, they want to get it done, and what blesses them is to finish and look back and say, well, I got that done. And you know what, the person with the gift of service, the next breath, what's the next project? Because you see, that's where they get their fulfillment. The completion of these short-range goals, and sometimes that comes across as prompting the suspicion of self-advancement. They're trying to get ahead of someone else. All right, then, number five, they may react to others who do not detect and meet obvious needs. For example, you've got a group of people, and here's a person with a gift of service. And here's a need that comes up. And the prophet just sort of sits there and says, well, they shouldn't have gotten themselves in that mess. The gift of giving says, well, maybe we can take up some money and help them over a period of time here. And the teacher over here, she wants to do something else. The gift of service says, I wonder what's wrong with these folks. Nobody wants to help. All they want to do is talk about it. And they want to arrange it and program it. They want to do something later. Why don't we just get up and do it right now? So the personal gift of service, who is so motivated to get it done, they think everybody else is insensitive, don't care, nobody's concerned but them. And you see, sometimes the personal gift of service can be a little critical, whereas we want to say, well, always wanting to be first, always want to get credit. So this is why people misunderstand each other. We misunderstand the thing that motivates us to live and to serve the way we do. This is what happens in families. Here's a wife, for example, has the gift of service, and I mean she's doing this, that, and the other, and her husband says, just let me do my own thing, will you? Now, friend, that hurts somebody with the gift of service. Listen, when the somebody with the gift of service is reaching out to help you and you brush them off, well, look, I'll take care of that. That's just what that's like. In other words, get your nose out of my business, when what they were trying to do is to be of help. So we have to be careful of the people of service around us. That's their ministry. And so when we deny them the privilege of serving, what we do is we grieve their spirit. All right? And then number six, insistence on serving may appear to be rejection of being served. Now, this can happen very easily to someone who is really given to the gift of service. And my mother, for example, is a good example to me of this. A person who has the gift of service, it is oftentimes very, very difficult to do something for them because they're already two steps ahead of you. For example, if I'm sitting at the table and I just think about something, my mom says, what do you need? If I look around the kitchen, she's already up going to get it before I tell her what I want. And I've seen this in almost every aspect of her life. That is, ready on the spot, ready to go, just can't do enough. Now, a person who has that gift, with a gift of service, sometimes it's difficult to do something for them because about time you get ready, they've already gotten it done. And so sometimes you may have to say to them, look, you know, you're depriving me of the joy of serving you. If it's always coming my way, then I get deprived out of the joy of doing something in return. They say, yeah, but they give you all these reasons why they just want to serve you. Now, it isn't that they feel that you are downing them by serving them. It's just that they are so highly motivated to give. What is it they feel when you start serving them? You start serving them and they get antsy. They think, well, that's what I ought to be doing. You know, so because they're not used to that and you start serving them, they think, well, surely I can do something. You've had people to come to your home and you serve them this delightful dinner. And I mean, you've got your best silverware and the finest of everything, things you haven't used for 6 months, and your husband looks and wonders where in the world that come from. You got all that worked out. And so you say, now you all just keep seated and my husband and I will take care of this, that, and the other. And so here sits the lady. And so without even thinking, she's up. You say, now we're going to take, no, I'm going to help you. She insists. She can't sit there. She just can't sit there because the gift of service, if they're dirty dishes, we got to get these things to the dishwasher now. And so she runs them off to the dishwasher. That's the way oftentimes they're misunderstood because it looks like that we're rejecting their service. Number seven, a desire to sense sincere appreciation may result in being hurt. Here's one thing about the person with the gift of service. You let them serve you, give their best, pour themselves into you, and you don't ever compliment them. You don't ever say a job well done. You don't ever encourage them. You don't ever reaffirm them by saying, look, you did a super job, and I mean, you just did more than was expected. Here's what happens. After a while, it's just like a turtle. They begin to draw back into their shell. It's not they don't want to serve. It's just, here's the reason the person with the gift of service acts that way. They don't know where they are. You see, if you don't compliment them and you don't reaffirm them, they don't know whether you're pleased or displeased, and so that gets them a little bit out of balance, and they don't know what to do next because their desire is they want to please you and serve you and help you, and if you don't give some signals back, they don't know where they are, and so that frustrates them. Now, I think you ought to know that if you are married, if you are a husband or a wife, if they're never in a compliments and never in a reaffirmation, then there's a grief in their heart, all right? Then number eight, quickness in meeting needs may interfere with spiritual lessons God is teaching those who have needs. Now watch this very carefully. Now watch this. You've got to see this. Let's say, for example, that here is a person who is in need. And here is God. And the reason that person is in need is that God has gotten their attention. They're disobedient, living in the flesh, disobeying God. And so God's got their attention. So he's got the umbrella of chastisement on them. He's really got their attention in finances. So here you are and you say, oh, my goodness, look, there's my friend is in need. And so I'm going to take care of that. You count up your money. So I think I can afford to give this and I'm going to meet that need. So what happens is God isn't ready. He's not finished with them. He's working them over, getting their attention about something. They're living in disobedience. So here you come and you want to meet that need. What happens is you get in the way. And if you're not careful in your insistence on quickly meeting everybody's need, you start getting the pressure. Listen, if you get between somebody that God's working on, you're going to get the pressure. And that's not always true. It's not always that intense. So what you better do is you better be sure if you see somebody who's in need, and I mean, they're going through difficulty, you need to ask the Lord. Now, Lord, I believe I know exactly how to alleviate that need. I think I can handle that. But, Lord, are you trying to show them something that I shouldn't be in the middle of right now, or is this something you want me to do? That's why we must be discerning. We don't go rushing in to take care of the problem. And even if we don't get into pressure and we take care of the problem, what happens? God just brings it right back. You meet this need in their person's life, God just brings it right back and says, all right, you didn't learn the last lesson, somebody interfered, so you're going through a similar situation. We have to be careful that in meeting somebody else's practical needs, we're not interfering with God's work in getting their attention to get them obedient to Him. All right? Number nine, meeting practical needs may be judged as a lack of interest in spiritual matters. As I said a few moments ago, a person sometimes who is more prone, who is more comfortable, fulfilled, and contented in meeting practical needs, you'll say, well, wonder why they don't lead in prayer always ushering and singing the choir. Why don't they do something spiritual? They are doing something spiritual. It's just that God hasn't called us all to do the same thing. So the person with the gift of service sometimes may feel within themselves, I guess I must not be as spiritual as others because here I am having to work in the hospitality usher, or I keep the doors, I work in the parking lot, or I work in the kitchen, or I do this. Every single one of those things is a ministry and extremely important, and we need people to do that who are motivated to serve other people. So do not belittle yourself. Do not let somebody else belittle you by their remarks. Well, we need somebody who's spiritual to do this. No. We need someone who has the ministry, motivated by the gift of serving, to give of themselves in that area. And number 10, stamina may be interpreted as insensitivity or impatience with others helping. Now, the person with the gift of service, I mean, it just seems they're living dynamos. Here they are, and they're still going, and everybody else is tired and wiping their brow and sitting around saying, let's take a break. And the person with the gift of service says, take a break, man, we've got work to do. They are intent on getting it done in the shortest period of time. And you see, that is a great sense of fulfillment that they did a super job in a short period of time, and therefore their reward is within themselves. 11, enjoyment of short-range goals may result in leadership positions and frustration or disorganization with long-range objectives. We mentioned that a few moments ago. Give them something that they can complete rather quickly at a short period of time, and they are far more highly motivated. Number 12, inability to avoid others' needs may result in sidetracking employers' directions. For example, let's say that you have responsibility on assembly line, and you have so many projects to fulfill in a given 8 hours, and you see one of your fellow workers over here, he stumbled and hurt himself, and so you just let the thing go, and you go over here and spend the hour helping your friend who's in need, and so your boss comes and says, look, you're an hour behind, what's the matter? Well, you have a very simple explanation. Well, here was a need, and I met the need. You're motivated by helping people, not working on the assembly line. Now, that happens to be your vocation, but if somebody's in need, you're prone to get sidetracked. Another thing is true of the person with the gift of service. They head out in this given direction, here's a pressing need, and all of a sudden, here's an emergency. They lay that aside and go to this another emergency, they'll take care of that. Now, they'll eventually get back here, but oftentimes the person with the gift of service can be easily sidetracked if something appears to be more urgent than the original one. Now, I went through that rather quickly with you, but if you'll just take the sheet that you have in the bulletin and check those off. Let me just see, just for interest's sake, how many of you think that your gift, motivational gift is service? Raise your hand. Stick them up there high now. Come on, don't be bashed. I'm not counting them and getting your names. All right. All right, fine. All right, now. I should have done this before I asked you to do that. But now, how do people act when they're in the spirit, and how do they act when they get in the flesh? All right, if you will list these seven words, and you who are watching and listening, I'm going to give you seven words under how you operate when you're in the spirit. Put a little dash beside them, and you can put the opposite out, how you act when you're in the flesh. That is, you get out of God's will, and the old flesh gets to acting up. A person with a gift of service who's walking in the spirit will naturally be very alert. We said the very first characteristic, alert to need. Secondly, hospitality. Very, very hospitable. Wanting to be around other people, serving them in every way possible. Number 3, generous. A person with a gift of service is normally generous because they're willing to give of what they have to meet a practical need in your life. Joyfulness. A person with a gift of service will go about their activities in a joyful, happy way. You see a person who's not, then you have a reason to doubt. Number 5, flexibility. A person with a gift of service knows that flexibility is absolutely essential to getting the job done. Sometimes being flexible with other people's orders, and sometimes having to make a sense of redirection here and correct the course in the middle of it to get it done. And then availability. A person with a gift of service is available. I mean, if you need to cut the lights on, off, air condition, whatever it might be, the person with a gift of service, the first one up, I'll take care of that. Just don't worry about it. Just go right ahead with what you're doing. Available to serve, and then endurance. The person with the gift of service is a person who seemingly can endure and just keep on going, persevering, hanging in there to get it done. Now, it'd be great if all of us had all of those attributes, 7 days a week, 24 hours of every day. Remember what we could get done in the whole body of Christ if we all were alert, hospitable, generous, and enduring, hanging in there, getting the work done. But you listen, you take this delightful, wonderful, exciting person who has the gift of service. I mean, you know, they just can't do enough. And you let them get out of God's will. And I mean, they get ornery. And listen to what happens to them. Their alertness turns into unconsciousness. They don't even know there's a need exists. In fact, they could care less that you have some need. Totally unconscious and insensitive. Secondly, instead of hospitality, loneliness, just forget it. They feel lonely. They feel isolated because, you see, they're not serving. They're not fulfilling their motivation, so they feel lonely. They may not be alone, but they feel lonely, and they're plagued with that. Number three, instead of being generous, they get real stingy. I've given all I'm going to give, not going to give anymore. Forget it. Don't tell me about anybody else's needs. I'm not interested in anybody else's needs. And here's the same person the day before who couldn't give enough. The next day, I'm not interested in giving anything else. Instead of joyfulness, self-pity. Now listen, you talking about somebody who can pout, brother. Listen, the person with the gift of service, when they get in the flesh, nobody appreciates all my work. Nobody understands me. Nobody cares how much I've done. Nobody shows any gratitude. Nobody shows any appreciation. Don't other folks know I need some reaffirmation once in a while? Won't somebody recognize me? And you see, what they're saying is, listen, if you would just encourage me a little bit, I'd get back in there and serve. But when they get out of the spirit, get in the flesh, self-pity. They probably have the greatest self-pity parties of anybody of all of the gifts. And then instead of being flexible, resistance. Sure, I'm willing to do it, but I'm going to do it my way in my time, and I don't want anybody to get in my way while I get it done. Is that clear? They resist any kind of flexibility. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. Now, you've got people who work for you maybe in your vocation, and on Monday morning they come in, and I mean, they're just absolutely super. They can't do enough on Tuesday morning. Man, you think, just don't get in their way today. I don't know what's wrong. What's wrong is they're in the flesh. You see, can you imagine what would happen to the American economy if everybody knew their motivation, if everybody was a saint, everybody knew their motivational gift, and everybody exercised it? Listen, we could feed 40 worlds big as ours. But see, we get in the flesh, we're not fit to live with. Instead of being available, self-centered. The only thing that matters today is what I do for myself. Self, 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 self. So you see, here's what I want you to notice in all of these gifts. The more you lean in this direction for good, the more you go in the other direction, other extreme, on the other side. Instead of being available, man, just chalk you off and count you out. You're not available at all. Then last, endurance. Endurance, just hanging in there till it's all done. The person who has the gift of service and they're in the flesh, forget it. I'm not going to complete that. I'm not interested in that. Just forget the whole thing. I quit. I'm going home. They want to quit. Now, isn't it interesting how God has gifted us and what He's done? Listen, He's given us the Holy Spirit to live within us. And He's there to equip us and to show us what our gift and our ministry, and He will do the manifestation in other people's lives. But now listen, all you and I have to do, listen to me, is be submissive to Him, to allow Him to control and to guide our lives. And when He does, I mean every single one of us in our motivational gift, in our ministry, God's going to bless other people through us. And when we want to do it our way, out of the Spirit, in the flesh, disobeying God, going to have my way, the truth is we're not fit to live with. You can take all of these. When we get to the last message, I'm going to take all of these spirit and carnal comparisons and show you that a person who is in the flesh in any given area, when you look at how they act, I mean, we're not fit to be around. But look at the tremendous contribution to any group the person with the gift of service can make. And then you talk about wanting to be around somebody who is insensitive, lonely feeling, stingy, full of self-pity, resisting everything goes on, full of self-centered, and just say, no, it won't work. In other words, the person with the gift of service who is so positive in the Spirit is so totally negative out of the Spirit. So that says two things, does number one. We must be very, very careful in our judgment of people who have the gift of service to understand why they're the way they are. And then secondly, if we have the gift of service, we must be careful how we come across to the people, lest they misunderstand our very precious, divinely given, motivated gift, the gift of service. Would you stand quietly? Now, Father, we thank you and praise you that it did not save us and then leave us here to manage on our own, but by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you have equipped each of us, and you are equipping us to fulfill the ministries you've given us. Those ministries are not all in the church house, but in every facet of life, whether in the business world, the political world, in the home, in the school, the teaching world, whether in the restaurant, whatever our occupation, whatever our vocation, you have equipped us in a means and in a manner by which we can fulfill that work through the ministry you've given us and do it in a way that breeds the least amount of weariness and frustration, anxiety and fear, and the greatest amount of contentment, fulfillment, and joy. And it's my prayer today in Jesus' name that everyone who's heard, everyone who has listened today would be able to discover whether this is their gift or not, and even if it is not, to begin to recognize the qualities in others that is so valuable to them as their friends and their co-workers. We thank you and praise you that you are equipping us in a way that our lives can glorify and honor you, and that we can be of service and help and encouragement one to the other, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to say to somebody, you're not saved, and you're saying, well, how does all that fit me? My friend, till you give your life to Christ, none of this works. Because you see, till you give your life to Christ, it's really all self-centered. When you're willing to yield your life to Jesus Christ by confession and repentance of your sin and commit your life to Him, then the Holy Spirit can come in your life. Then He will grant you a motivational gift. Then He will give you a ministry. Then He will manifest His power through your life. But until then, you're on your own, fighting your own way through this world, struggling, wasting your life when you have a life that you can invest to the glory of God. And so I want to encourage you to give your life to Christ and make every single moment of your life count every day to the glory of God and, my friend, for your own sense of fulfillment, contentment, happiness, peace, and joy.